Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is a portion of the gospel lesson, which I invite you to follow with me on your insert. We're specifically looking this morning at verses 26 through 35, which proclaim to us today the amazing annunciation of your King. Please be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this morning we hear the most amazing annunciation of your King. You would expect that there would be great fanfare. The trumpets would be blowing, the flags would be flying, there would be huge crowds, there would be overwhelming excitement. But your God doesn't work that way. He doesn't think that way. His ways are different than our ways. His ways are perfect. His ways are mysterious. His ways, dear ones, are awe-inspiring. So hold on to your seat. Give ear to the amazing annunciation of your King. Luke begins this morning, as you look at your insert, there in verses 26 through 27, with the orientation. Luke sets the stage for us, if you will. That way there's no disagreement about what's to happen. He gives us the time. Elizabeth has now been pregnant for 6 months. God tells us that now it's time for an even more amazing miracle. So he sends a messenger, and there's also a receiver of that message. So Luke tells us that God sends the angel Gabriel. And the message that he is to give is to proclaim to a virgin living in Galilee, specifically the city of Nazareth. And this virgin's name is Mary. So Luke kind of wraps it up nice. He gives us the time. He gives us the messenger and the receiver. And he also tells us the place. There's also a contrast here, of course. We have heard that Elizabeth, in her old age, has become pregnant. And she's now in her sixth month. And this announcement now comes to Mary will be even more amazing. For Mary is a virgin, and she will be the mother of God. To be conceived in her womb will be the Son of God. And this, my dear friends, is the greater miracle. Notice verse 27. Verse 27 tells us, it begins by telling us that Mary is a virgin, and it ends by telling us that Mary is a virgin. In case you had any doubts, Mary is a virgin. So now, Gabriel gives her the greeting. The angel appears, the angel Gabriel, and he announces, "Kari! Kari! Hail!" In our text, it's translated as, "Greetings." Not so much. This Greek word is so, so important for us because the Hebrew word is the word that identifies Mary with a very specific work. This greeting only occurs in the Old Testament as it is connected to the daughters of Zion. You see this in the gradual this morning. That's why the gradual is for the fourth Sunday of Advent. This greeting connects Mary with the Old Testament promises of the coming Messiah. She's been identified as the daughter of Zion, as the daughter of Jerusalem. And this greeting takes Mary not only to Zechariah 9, but more specifically, it takes her to Zephaniah chapter 3. "Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel, rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. Thus, Mary is now being identified as Israel. For this promise is being announced not to the nation, but to a virgin, a Jewish virgin living in Nazareth. God is now announcing to this virgin, to this daughter of Zion, to Israel, that the Messiah would be conceived in her. Why? Why Mary? Well, Gabriel tells us she's favored, or she is being shown God's grace. Notice that it's not Mary showing grace. It is God showing grace to her. Mary is the receiver. And what grace is being announced to her? Mary is receiving grace. Not only is she receiving grace, grace is going to be placed in her. For the King of grace, the Lord of grace, not only will He fill her, but He will be with her. He will be in her. He will grow in her and be born from her. Lastly, Mary is told that the Lord is certainly with her. Just as you heard the salutation this morning, "The Lord be with you," the same words were spoken to Mary. So therefore, the Lord is with her, just as the Lord is with each and every one of you this morning. You see, God, when He speaks, His word makes everything possible, which is what our text tells us. So when God says that He is with you, guess what? The Lord is with you. It's the very same phrase. The Lord is now present, not only with Mary, but in just a couple of moments, the Lord will be present in Mary. So Mary is troubled. Sometimes we wonder about this. Why would she be troubled about a greeting given from an angel? Well, she's being greeted as a daughter of Zion. She's being greeted as a daughter of Jerusalem. She's being greeted as Israel. And the extraordinary presence of the Lord is now before her and soon will be in her. She is present. She is present before Yahweh and His messenger, Gabriel. So she wonders in her mind, what sort of greeting is this? And as she's wondering this in her mind, as she is troubled over this, Gabriel gives to her divine assurance, and he gives to her a divine message. First, he says to her, "Have no fear." Yes, Mary, you are in God's presence, but do not be afraid. Even though Mary is a sinner, and even though you and I are a sinner, and even though right now we are in the presence of God, we are not to be afraid. God is not a cruel taskmaster. He is not a judge that will condemn us. Rather, He came into this world to be our servant, to save us. Gabriel reassures Mary, as he reassures you this morning, that you too are favored. Mary, you are being shown grace. Dear ones, you are being shown grace. Mary, your sin is forgiven. Your sin is absolved. Dear ones, your sin, all of your sin is forgiven. You have been absolved. You are now being made. Yes, Mary is being made worthy. It's not what Mary is doing. It's what God is doing to and in her. The same with us. We don't make ourselves worthy before God. Rather, He makes us worthy by speaking His word, by giving to us body and blood, by reminding us of the water and the word that was poured on and into us. You see, God makes us worthy, just as He's making Mary worthy, to receive God's grace and His favor. What Gabriel is declaring from God is really the sweetness of the Holy Gospel. He is announcing to Mary, he is announcing to you, and on this Sunday, he is announcing to the world the greatness of the Annunciation. And yes, it gets even greater. Just listen. But before that, Gabriel announces, he announces Jesus. You see, Gabriel, the angels in heaven, and the Holy Spirit himself will always point us to Jesus. So therefore, Gabriel announces him. He says that you are to give him the name Jesus. But prior to that, he tells Mary something very important. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. That's the Annunciation. The king has been announced. There's no fanfare. There's no trumpets. There are no crowds. Just a lowly virgin and the angel Gabriel. The one being conceived in her. This king that is now coming to Israel, his name is to be Jesus, which is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Yeshua. You've heard that name before. Yeshua, literally translated, it means God is salvation. He, Yeshua, as the angel tells Mary, will be great. Actually, dear ones, he will be the greatest man who ever lived. He will be called the Son of the Most High. He will be the Son of Yahweh Elohim. And Yahweh Elohim will give to this man, to his son, the throne of David. It's right here. It's right here in the Old Testament lesson. Just take your eyes over to the very last verse of the Old Testament lesson. And it's right here before us. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. Exactly what Gabriel is announcing to Mary and to you and to the world. So let's summarize. Before we move on, let's summarize to make sure that we all understand this. Mary is a virgin. She will conceive in her womb a son, and his name will be Yeshua. God is salvation. He is the great one. He is the son of Yahweh Elohim. And Yeshua is a king. He is a direct descendant of David. And not only that, he will sit on David's throne forever and forever and forever. Therefore, you should have no fear, for evil will be put away. Do you grasp, my dear friends, do you grasp what is being announced not only to Mary, but to each and every one of you? Gabriel is announcing a turning point of history. Gabriel is announcing a turning point of salvation history. The promise that was made to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3:15, is now being proclaimed once again. Not only is it being announced, it's going to be fulfilled. God has kept his promise. You can trust his word, for his word is powerful, and his word does not return to him void. When he speaks, it happens. And when he says that he's sending his Messiah into the womb of a virgin, that's exactly what happens. And Mary is amazed. You should be amazed. I'm amazed. You should be amazed. Naturally, this raises questions. And Mary had a question also. It's the right question. Her question reflects God's power, his grace, his authority. Her question is not skeptical. It doesn't challenge God like Zechariah did. But her question is an honest question. How will this be, since I have not known a man? You see, dear ones, Mary knows that she's a virgin. She has never, ever known a man. So how can this conception happen? And here is the power of God. Luther wrote that Mary believed, and in her faith she conceived through the ear. When she heard the word, she believed. When she heard the word, she conceived. And this is the wonder of the Annunciation. Gabriel tells Mary that the Holy Spirit will come upon her, and the power of the Most High Yahweh Elohim, will overshadow her. Verse 35. You can look at it for yourself. And now, focus on that word overshadow. That word overshadow is everything for us, and it's everything for Mary. In the English, it doesn't make a lot of sense to us, but in the Hebrew, it makes perfect sense. This overshadowing is the Shekinah glory of God. It's the cloud that encompassed and filled the tabernacle. It's the cloud that came down from heaven there on the Mount of Transfiguration. And it came down and it overshadowed Jesus and Elijah and Moses and Peter, James, and John. It's the same Shekinah that led Israel through the desert. It's the same Shekinah that overshadowed you when you were baptized. It's the very same glory of God. It's the same Shekinah that is present here right now in His Word. And whenever you come to this altar, the Shekinah is present to nourish you with body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. It is this Shekinah that now overshadows Mary. This is the moment, dear ones. This is the moment. This is the conception of Jesus. Jesus into flesh, a single cell, now takes root in the womb of a virgin. The King is born. He is conceived. He is now become man. And this is the greatest of all miracles. A virgin conceives in her womb Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh Elohim. God has come to tabernacle. God has come to live with His people by taking on human flesh. Mary, representing Israel, Mary is also representing the temple. And there now present in her is the Ark of the covenant of a new Lord that has come to Israel, a new promise, a new covenant in His blood. And just as you are a temple, for when the overshadow happening to you occurred here, you also were overshadowed, and you also became a temple, for the Lord now lives in you. The Lord doesn't necessarily live in this building, but He lives in each and every one of you. You are His temple, just as Mary is now the temple of Yeshua. So this child now conceived in her would soon be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. In 40 days, he would be presented in the temple. And there, as we will hear next week, some amazing things were said about Him because He's the Great One, because He is Yeshua. Soon He would be baptized in the Jordan. And as those waters of the Jordan are poured onto Him, your sin and my sin is poured onto Him. And what does He do with those sins? He takes them to the cross at Golgotha. And there at Golgotha, your King is crowned, not with a crown of gold, but with a crown of thorns. And your King isn't placed upon His throne. Oh no, He's nailed to His throne. And as your King is there hanging from His throne, He announces to the world and He announces to you and me, "It is finished." peace has come. You've been reconciled to your Father in heaven. Have no fear. He has put away the evil. And then your King ascends back to the Father. But still, don't be afraid. He won't leave you as an orphan. He is with you. He is living in you. Your King is coming back, though. Physically coming back. And when he physically comes back, he will take you to be where he is. Your King is Jesus. He is your resurrection and your life. Even though a man die, yet shall he live. That's his promise. For he died, and he lives. And he lives in you. You see, your good shepherd will come back, and he will lead his dear little flock back into his kingdom. And there you will live in his kingdom, a place where there is no sorrow, a place where there is no pain, a place where there is no mourning or crying or sin any longer. For he will wipe every tear from your eyes. Rejoice! Yes, on this day rejoice! The day before we will celebrate the birth of the King, rejoice! Rejoice that he lives and that his work of redemption has been accomplished. And it has been accomplished, dear ones, for you. Accomplished all for you and for the forgiveness of all your sin. Thanks be to Jesus, for he is your salvation. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.